Tech Talk with Jeff Quattromani.
Okay, time for Tech Talk with Jeff Quattromani. We welcome him to the program. G'day, Jeff. How are you, mate?
I'm really well. How are you?
Not too bad. I do have a couple of questions that people have sent in, but let's get to your discussion points first, and if we have time, we'll come back to those questions, okay?
Sure.
Let me see. You've been testing a new drone from DJI. It provides extended flight times and multiple camera options. Tell us more about the drone.
Yeah, this has been a fun one to experience. It's the DJI Air 3, and it's got two cameras on there, one which has a 3x zoom and one that's wide angle, meaning I can get closer to things without actually having to physically get closer, meaning my photos look better than they ordinarily would be. But the 46-minute flight time is what I really love, and that means that I can take my time in taking photos or video without worrying about coming back to land and change batteries, which has been nice. But speaking of flying, I can get up to 20 kilometres of range out of this drone, which means I can really take this thing as far as I like to capture something, whether it's an island in the distance or a boat or something like that. You can absolutely take this thing as far as you like, so an impressive piece of hardware that's perfect for travel, I guess.
But let me ask you this. You said you can take it 20 kilometres into the distance. I thought the rules and regulations of actually flying a drone, one of those rules was that you needed to be able to see the drone by the naked eye all the time.
Yeah, that's absolutely the rule, and I don't know how many people can see 20 kilometres ahead of them, especially an item as small as this 20 kilometres away. I would say that if you are going to do that kind of flying, that you're doing it in areas which aren't regulated by CASA, and that could be if you're taking a holiday to a deserted island or something like that where you're not having to worry about those rules, but the capability is certainly there.
So if you're flying a drone in, let's say, New South Wales, under the CASA rules, you at all times need to be able to see by the naked eye where that drone is. Is that correct?
That is the rule, yes. Yes, absolutely.
How many people do you think break that rule?
I think everybody breaks that rule. I don't mean to laugh. It's just when I was flying this over the weekend, we're up in Kilcare, and as I was flying it out towards the ocean, it was very difficult to try and keep track of that dot, while at the same time looking at a screen to try and see what I want to take a photo or video of. And, it's not easy to do, especially as they get smaller.
How's it fly in the wind? How's it handle the wind?
It was very solid. And I think what's interesting, even if the drone from the naked eye looks like it's moving, the gimbal on the camera actually stabilizes the footage so well that even in video, it still looks like smooth motion.
I've got a place right on the water, and we get the RAAF planes from Williamtown coming down, not on a regular basis, but regular enough with the planes and the helicopters, and they fly really, really low. I'm saying almost at the same level when I sit out the back. I mean, I tell the story of a friend and I were having a Saturday afternoon lunch once out the back, and they came down in their planes, and he was so low, you could see the reflection of the sun on his helmet as he flew past, because they're right over the water, okay? I tell you this to say to you, I've always been a bit concerned about flying a drone around that area in case they came down, because they arrived very quickly.
Yeah, and look, and there are rules as well, and some of these drones are actually programmed to identify those flight areas and actually should limit the drone from even getting into that airspace, which can sometimes be, you know, much lower than you'd expect. So, you know, these drones shouldn't be in that airspace, and I really worry sometimes that they are, and that's a big risk.
It's a lot of fun, though, isn't it? And yes. What used to cost people that make television commercials or movies, you know, thousands upon thousands of dollars to put a camera crew up in a helicopter, these days you put a drone up there and you've got the shot with one person, a drone, in probably 30 minutes.
Yes, and the quality of the footage is getting better. I mean, it's a 4K camera. It's got all the bells and whistles that you need. It's absolutely remarkable.
Samsung held an event last week. They've got new flip phones, smartwatches, tablets.
Yeah, and look, I don't know if there's too much exciting to talk about the flip phones. We've seen a number of those now. The smartwatches are, again, minor improvements. But on the tablet side, it was interesting, because we always think about iPads when we think about tablets. But Samsung's got a range now which has 11-inch, 12-inch, and now a 14.6-inch tablet. So if you really want a big screen, which you can now actually take into the bath because it's now water-resistant, that means that you can have a very big screen and it's water-resistant. So, I don't know, Netflix in the bath, it's entirely up to you.
There's got to be more to life than that, surely.
I don't know. I mean, summer's coming up. Maybe Netflix in the pool.
How about champagne and your partner in the bath?
You'd won't even need the tablet for that.
LG's revealed their latest invention. Oh, God, it's an espresso-style coffee machine that actually brings new ideas and design to life. It'll make your bed.
I wish it could do something like that. But no, this thing looks like a lunar lander. It really does look like something that would land on the moon. But it does take two Nespresso pods at a time. So if you're someone like me who has a double espresso, that's perfect. Or if you're a bit creative, you can have a blend of maybe two different Nespresso flavors in the one cup. But it has got a large display that talks you through a lot of the process. It's a little bit more interactive than just a typical Nespresso machine, but we don't even know if this will come to Australia yet. So the $400 machine, maybe not worth getting excited about just yet.
You're talking about the modern hotel room. It's different amenities. Virtual reality experiences are coming to in-room features. Tell us more about a virtual reality experience in a hotel room.
Look, a lot of us expect free Wi-Fi, a TV on the wall and things like that. But now there's a good chance that hotels will get a competitive edge by having a virtual reality headset in the room so that you can either have virtual experiences of local attractions or you can have a virtual experience of sitting in a theater. Who knows what it could be? It's up to the hotel to provide that. But this could be their next advantage. I tell you, though, I'm never going to wear a VR headset that has been used in a hotel by a bunch of guests. That is an off-limits thing in the same way as using the kettle. I won't use that either.
I'm thinking about, do they offer escorts?
It's a virtual service only. That's it.
Dear. The future ahead of us is exciting, but also scary, I suppose, isn't it?
Yes, it's rather unhygienic, I think, when you get to those levels, yeah.
The Apple AirTag assists you in finding your keys, but now people are using it, mums and dads are using it to track their children.
Yeah, this is a fascinating use case because if your kids are too young to not have a smartphone and you don't want to actually give them one just yet because you can always track your kids on their smartphones, then you could be giving them an AirTag. And that means that whenever they're around other people who have smartphones, then they'll actually be detected and you'll know their location. So if they've left school, if they're at a friend's place, there's a good way of using the AirTag to continue to get updates as to where they are popping up. So if you do want to track your kids, I think it's a little bit creepy. But I know it's a common practice, and the AirTag is, I guess it's an option for people now.
Well, it's also an option to track your pets. So I know a couple of people that have the AirTags on the collars of their pets.
Yes, and I actually think that's a really good use case, and I see a lot of people now even putting them into their cars, because if, heaven forbid, your car gets stolen, pretty good chance the guy who stole it probably has an iPhone and is giving away his location to you the entire time.
The future. My goodness me, the AirTags. And they're not that expensive either, are they?
They're about $40 each, which isn't going to break the bank. And it's got a one-year battery life. So, it takes those small button batteries. Pretty easy to do. You can do it yourself and keep it working. We had a water tank that we lost during the floods. And the next water tank I get, I'm putting an AirTag on it because I want to know where it ends up. So that'd be fascinating to see.
All right, mate. We're out of time. Good to talk to you. We'll do the questions next week.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, mate. See you. Bye-bye. That's Jeff Quattromani.